coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the 21st day of November 2022. I want to welcome everyone to today's program. Thanksgiving week, a lot to be thankful for. If you look around at your blessings, count your blessings, your family, your friends, the things that you have, and of course, God-given rights that rights given by God, I should say, we should be thankful for as well. All right. One thing that is that the media does not want you to see, that absolutely no one in power wants you to see this. No one running things behind the scenes wants you to see what I'm about to show you. This is a video by Greg Reese. And this is about what's going on in Brazil. This explains it pretty well. Now, just very simply, understand, if we, that's you and I, if we as a country, we can fix our problems. We can fix our problems if we have the sufficient desire. Watch what's going on in Brazil. Let's shoot right off with this one.
The people of Brazil are united together in protest against the globalist Great Reset. In 2017, Luiz Lula was convicted on charges of corruption and money laundering and sentenced to 9 years in prison. In April of last year, he was released by the Brazilian Supreme Court to run against Bolsonaro. He is supported by the World Economic Forum. Translating.
Lula was not elected. Lula stole my vote, stole from my people. We will not create war. We will not spill blood. We will fight with peace, this son of a Alexandre de Moraes, because he stole our votes and gave them to another criminal, Lula. They reversed his sentence in order to win, criminally, by stealing and diverting our votes. This was dishonesty, shadiness, criminal. In my country, there is no place for them.
End translation. Alexandre de Moraes is the minister of the Supreme Court of Brazil, who just ordered the banks to block the accounts of anyone supporting the historic protest. If people all over the world took to the streets like the people of Brazil, then the imminent global tyranny would be eradicated. And this is why the media ignores it. They are hoping you just stay home and watch it, like a movie, until it arrives at your front door and it's too late.
Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one? Are you kidding? Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
It's not about food. It's not about the injections. It's not. It can be about anything, okay? But we have them outnumbered. And, of course, all we have to do is show up. And that's what we need to do. Look, folks, we are in perhaps, I believe, one of the most dangerous times in American history. I've said this before. We are looking at a situation where the awakening by the American people, specifically with respect to the injecticide, the vaccinations, vaccinations, as Steve Quayle calls them, the excess deaths, the excess mortality is beginning to show, is beginning to be documented. This Swiss cardiologist, this is video one in the show prep. By the way, HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to today's show. It opens up a box. There you've got all the appropriate links, including and especially the source links well cited to today's show. But a Swiss cardiologist, Dr. Thomas Binder, talks about excess mortality, about the situation with the so-called, again, so-called vaccines. And, you know, they're not letting up on this. You might think they are. Biden extended the emergency, of course, into the spring. You still have this push for the getting the shots, getting the boosters. You still have brainwashed people. But here's, again, here is what people are getting banned for. Here's what you're not allowed to say. Here's what, but nonetheless, here's what studies are finding right now. Go ahead and play clip number, this would be clip number one in the show prep.
Because I did nothing wrong. They realized this after 1 hour. There was no threat of anybody. And I was not armed, and I had no psychiatric history, of course. All these allegations of these liberals were wrong. And so they couldn't arrest me. So obviously they tried something else, and they didn't know how to deal with me. So they put me into closed psychiatry. But then they gave me the opportunity to decide. Either you stay here in the psychiatric hospital for 6 weeks to have treated this mania, or you can leave and go home and continue to work, but you must take a medication. And I was forced to take a neuroleptic. And whether I took it or not was weekly controlled by a blood check. So these are really Soviet-style, GDR-style psychiatric methods.
This is outrageous. So this is Switzerland. For everybody listening right now, I want you to all know that this is happening in Switzerland, and you were forced to take a psychiatric medication because you spoke out against COVID-19 restrictions and measures. Am I right?
Yes. But of course, these, as I said, the corona insane other side decided I must be corona insane. So from their point of view, this was, of course, correct. But from my point of view, this was completely wrong. Yeah, this was Switzerland, or in April 2020.
All right, my apologies. I switched the videos, but nonetheless, that is, think about this, a medical doctor speaking out against the injection, speaking about the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, speaking about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, alternative methods, being made to take a psychiatric medication. Well, given the choice. Again, no one made him do it, right? Given the choice, you either take this medication or we're going to toss you in jail for 6 months. So he said, give me the medication. I mean, he must know what he's doing, right? He's a physician. That's what we're up against. If you saw, of course, what's going on in Brazil, and by the way, I should have expanded upon Brazil. That's really about the votes. I mean, people are waking up about, hey, the elections are rigged. But it's about anything. It could be about anything. It could be about the shots. It could be about the elections, and should be about all of the above. Otherwise, we are all going to find ourselves given a choice. You either get shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way you're dead, as Steve Quayle, again, they would invoke Steve Quayle, or, you know, you go along or you get punished. And that is if we don't stand up for ourselves. By the way, it's a Monday. It's a holiday week. Eric the Tech, how are you today?
Doing good.
All right. Thanks for setting up that meeting last night. Appreciate that, and appreciate you punching in there and giving some information. All right. By the way, we're not going to do a Thanksgiving Day program. I'm going to, along with Eric the Tech and others, we are going to have celebrate Thanksgiving with our families. And I just want to let you know in advance. And the following day, I'm going to be taking that off as well. Just so you know. All right. Now, we just had the COP 20, the climate change meeting / New World Order meeting. Okay, COP 27. You know that we have just finished that. All right, the globalists have just finished that. Well, I'm going to go to clip number 3. I should have had another clip in there too, because this is French President Macron. The other clip had the French president getting slapped by a woman, which was just great in kind of a small crowd. But this is Macron advocating for a one world order. And of course, this is banned. You can't post this on social media like Facebook and even right now on Twitter. It's iffy at best on Twitter. But the fact of the matter is, this shows everyone, if you have friends at work, you say, you know what, you talk about this new world order, one world order thing. If you have friends like that, you can show them this clip or show them any number of clips. Copy them from the show prep material. Show them any number of clips that we have talking about this. If they think that this is some sort of a conspiracy nutcase theory, of course it's not. So, and by the way, feel free to post this program and share this program with others that you know. So let's go to video number. This would be clip 3 in the program show notes. This is Macron advocating for a one world order. This is at the COP27. I believe it was at the COP27 conference. I could be wrong on that, but here it is.
Trying to become more and more nervous. If they become very nervous and start war, it will be a problem for the rest of the jungle. You need cooperation of a lot of other animals. Tigers, monkeys, and so on. Are you on the US and the Chinese side? Because now, progressively, a lot of people would like to see there are two orders in this world. This is a huge mistake. Even for both the US and China, we need a single global order.
All right. We need a single global order. And he mentions US and China, which provides a good segue into this. A lot of people believe, and rightfully so, that China, United States, not on friendly terms in the granular sense, I suppose. Not the best of friends. Now, trading partners, of course, yes, we know all of that. There is, however, and I think this is a good segue for this, the stooge that's in the White House right now, the Mr. Potato Head, but more importantly, all of his handlers, all of them, are compromised at some level by the Communist Chinese Party, by the CCP. And if you, at least in my view, in order to understand what's going on with respect to the elections with here in this country, with respect to the, with everything, essentially, if you understand that there is the Chinese Communist Party model being attempted to be thrust upon the American people, then things become clearer. Now, remember I spoke about the Biden laptop. Now, look, I don't hold out hope that this Congress is going to be any different than the last or the one before that or the one before that or the one before that in holding people accountable for crimes. But what we have shown, or what has been shown in the Biden, Hunter Biden laptop, is treasonous activity. We've talked about this. I'm not going to rehash this. We've talked about this quite a bit. We've been promised now with this new Congress, however, that there will be investigations and, yes, if necessary, charges filed against anyone involved in being compromised with the Communist Chinese Party or any other treasonous or criminal activity or whatever level. Good luck with that. Am I holding out hope for that? No. I believe, like the initial video I opened with, and I hope to close with that too, I really believe that it's up to us. It will have to be up to us. I don't see any way out of this. We had a robust discussion last night with Patreon, mid-month Patreon meeting. Very robust discussion about where's this headed? Where's this all headed? And I believe this is headed toward violence, toward chaos. They meaning the demonic individuals in charge, are going to attempt to kill us all, either through the injections, incarcerate us, the ones they can't or won't kill. And more. Using the Chinese model. So where are we at with, for example, implementing the Communist Chinese model at this fourth turning, at this chaotic time, at this moment in time when we have local and state in federal elections stolen from us by individuals in charge right now? And how deep is that hole? This is a taste. Now, you've gotten, folks, this is nothing new to you, but, well, maybe to some it might be. But yesterday, I believe this was on Sunday Morning Talks. You know what? I'm not 100% certain. It's marked video 5 in the show prep. Let's play video 5 and then I'll have commentary afterwards. Here it is. This is about the Biden laptop, but more importantly, this is about the scope of the criminal activity and treasonous activity of Joe Biden, his wife, his family, including Hunter. Here it is.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings here at 7:30. And as Republicans take control of the House, Hunter Biden, the president's son, will be a target for investigations. And that means data from a laptop reported to belong to Biden could be crucial to the investigatory process. CBS News has obtained its data not through a third party or political operative, but directly from the source who told us they provided it to the FBI under subpoena. And we commissioned an independent forensic review to determine its authenticity. Senior investigative correspondent Catherine Herridge joins us now with what we found. Catherine, I'm very interested. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony. These House Republican investigations are coming, and that could be a challenge for the White House as we head into 2023 and 2024. The laptop data we had analyzed showed no evidence it was faked or tampered with.
Digital forensic investigator Mark Lanterman was previously a member of a Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force.
There was one thing that got my attention, and that was a voicemail.
His dad called and told me, "I love you more than the whole world, pal." Could I get some help?
That voicemail, apparently from Joe Biden during his son Hunter's drug addiction, is one of many findings Lanterman used to authenticate what is believed to be Hunter Biden's laptop data.
You're confident, based on your analysis, this is Hunter Biden's data and that it's real?
Yes.
This Delaware computer shop is where the laptop's backstory begins. Their records indicate, in April 2019, Hunter Biden took his laptop in for repair, but never paid. After 90 days, the store considered it abandoned. Then in December 2019, the FBI subpoenaed the store's owner to turn over the computer and a portable drive of its data.
Whatever happened to Hunter?
During the 2020 election, versions were widely shared by Republican operatives, including Rudy Giuliani.
We have the entire hard drive.
But questions were raised about whether additional files were added to those versions. Then-candidate Biden labeled the laptop controversy disinformation.
What this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant.
CBS News approached the lawyer for the computer repair shop owner to cut through the noise.
We've always had one clean copy.
And obtained a copy of what he says they provided the FBI under subpoena. Then we went to Minneapolis for an independent analysis.
Were you paid by CBS or anyone else to analyze the data?
No.
No.
I wouldn't want anyone to think that someone bought our opinion.
Around the corner, it'll lead you to what we call our imaging room.
Lanterman and his son, Sean, both digital forensic experts, recovered images of credit cards, a driver's license, social security number.
Just the sheer volume of what we're dealing with, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to fabricate.
And explained how files built up over years.
It accumulated over time, which is consistent with normal, everyday use of a computer.
There's some reporting about folders being added.
We have read these articles. We don't see that. So I believe that that's because we have a more pristine copy.
The laptop and its contents have fueled Republican interest in Hunter Biden's business ventures.
Hunter Biden was working with Chinese nationals.
They say this May 2017 email outlining a proposed business deal with a Chinese energy firm is one reason why they have questions about whether President Biden benefited.
We're prepared to subpoena Hunter Biden. We would certainly hope that he would want to come before the committee and clear his name.
Two of Hunter Biden's former business partners, including Tony Bobulinski, who received the email, told CBS News the 10 held by H for the big guy is shorthand for 10% held by Hunter for his father. After the email became public in 2020, the author of the email told the Wall Street Journal Joe Biden was not involved. The author has not responded to CBS News' questions. Mr. Biden has consistently denied knowledge of his son's work or financially benefiting from it.
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business.
Last month, Senator Chuck Grassley wrote this letter alleging bank records and financial data showed that Hunter Biden and the president's brother profited from a $5 million wire from a company connected to CEFC, the Chinese energy firm.
They're going to look at every part of the Joe Biden administration.
Doug High is a Republican strategist.
A lot of this is also going to be aggressive on Hunter specifically. We're going to hear a lot about the laptop. Who profited? Was the law broken? Was it not broken?
After 2 years of scrutiny, the laptop has not produced evidence President Biden directly benefited from his son's business deals.
If there's dirt there, that will dirty him up. If not, those attacks can backfire.
The White House declined to comment. Hunter's lawyer did not address our specific questions about the data or the CBS forensic review, but said there have been multiple attempts to hack, infect, distort, and peddle misinformation regarding Mr. Biden's devices and data.
What
and
a
no
bunch
time
of crap
did any individual,
okay,
including
you can, you,
the
you
IT
can stop
repair
right
shop.
There. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, in it was October of 2019 when I received a copy, and here it is right here, a copy of Hunter Biden's laptop, his hard drive, a copy of his hard drive. It's on this, it's right here. I have multiple copies, of course, faded away. So the FBI swag bag, you can pick this up on your way out the door when you kick my door in. But here's the thing. That was a CBS. My apologies. Again, I mislabeled my show prep notes. That was the CBS report that the normal you know, that people who tuned into mainstream media saw. To have that shown right now to me suggests, at least to me, suggests that they're getting ready to throw Hunter or Joe Biden under the bus. When you compare that now here's why I think this is important. Why would I play something from the mainstream media? Because other people are watching it. You might not. Other people are. Other people are all of a sudden saying, whoa, I didn't know that. And of course, you have polls or whatever question, that would have affected my vote had I known about this. So you have, who do you have on the hot seat for this? You've got the intelligence community. All right, now, hopefully I'm realigned now with my numbering on my notes, but who knows? It's always a surprise. Life is, this show is like a box of chocolates, okay? You just never know what you're gonna get. Okay. Did I play Eric the Tech? Did we play video 5? Was that video 5? That was video 5. Okay. Hang on a second here. Okay. Let's go to video B, of course, on page 2. Oh, folks, I want to thank the people last night. It was a long night after that meeting and then an early morning this morning. So I apologize for being a little bit out of sorts, but let's go to video B. This is about Biden being compromised. Again, the last one you saw was about what people are seeing now, what people are starting to find out. People like, oh, I don't know, my neighbor, a couple doors down, 3-5 doors down. I'm not going to, you know, hey, wait a second. You know, what's going on here? And by the way, getting back to the compromise, the Chinese Communist Party, you can see the money being exchanged between the Biden family and the Communist Chinese Party. When you have President Trump really giving his money, spending his money for his country versus Biden making money to sell out his country, there's a huge difference there. Okay, so video B goes into the level of compromised Hunter or Joe Biden could be. And this is not even getting into people like Feinstein, Swalwell, and others, and even some on the right. But let's just stick with the Biden family right now being part of the executive branch. Here it is.
My feeling is that Joe Biden is highly compromised. Why else would we cancel the China initiative, the DOJ program designed to investigate China's theft of our intellectual property from colleges and universities? It made no sense whatsoever. There's only one explanation. Joe Biden is compromised.
Well, that was Senator Ron Johnson on this program last week on the impact of Biden family influence peddling, which reportedly goes back many decades, by the way. My next guests announced on Thursday that the House will pick up where the Senate left off in looking at the 150 suspicious activity reports flagged by the major banks of the Biden family bank accounts after years of making millions by offering foreigners access to their family and inroads into acquisitions in America. Joining me right now is the ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer, and the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan. Both are expected to assume the role of the chairman of those respective committees. Good morning to you both, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here.
Morning.
Good morning.
James Comer, let me kick this off with you and get your take on this 150 suspicious activity reports. Most people will never get a suspicious activity report, right? What is it and how come they were flagged by the banks?
99.99% of Americans will never get a suspicious activity report. These were created after September 11th for the government to be able to track suspicious foreign transactions coming in to fund terror sales. It's expanded over time to help law enforcement track things like money laundering. But when a bank files a suspicious activity report, that's the bank notifying the federal government that we're pretty certain our client has committed a crime. Hunter Biden and Jim Biden have at least 150 of these. We believe Joe Biden's name
was on some of those accounts. That's why we want them. But the suspicious activity reports are very detailed as to why the banks suspected that criminal activity was taking place. Hey, by the Bidens.
For a second. I can tell you this. Okay. If you are a subscriber to Wisconsin Christian News, you would have read about this. If not, please subscribe to Wisconsin Christian News. Also donate as well. But here's the thing, you know, the thing, the accounts that are being referenced in this discussion, as I held up that hard drive, you can see where the money is commingled between the entity, the organization that Hunter Biden was a part of, and Joe Biden. In other words, it would be like Eric the Tech and I having an account, or like me having an account at Home Depot, just for an example, and me giving Eric the Tech a card to access or to use at Home Depot under my name and my account number and the authorization to use that card to make purchases. That's what has happened here. That's what this hard drive shows, just so you know. I did have a conversation, and I think I put this in one of the reports probably a year, 14 months ago, in Wisconsin Christian News. I spoke to the manager of my bank, who's been in banking his entire life. He filed one SARS report following 9/11, following the putting SARS into as a regulation, and and he was at one of the busiest branches in my hometown. So 150 SARS reports. Think about that. That's mind-boggling. And people are yelling about President Trump. You got to be kidding me. Go ahead and continue.
Well, look, I've said it from day one. This is not a Hunter Biden story. This is a Joe Biden story, because they were basically selling access to Joe Biden. We know we have all the emails, the big guy email, where Joe Biden was supposed to be holding 10% equity into CEFC, the Chinese energy company. Mm-hmm. How are we supposed to trust that the commander in chief of America is going to make the right decisions on behalf of America when he's taking in all of this money? Hunter Biden's been paying his bills. That also is indicative that he was clearly the one that they were selling.
Right. That's very troubling. What we showed at the press conference was a map of the United States in Chinese, where all the natural gas distributors were highlighted. And the business model that Hunter Biden was presenting to the Chinese was a way for China to come in and not only buy liquefied natural gas from America, but also to start buying ownership in the drillers so that China could start taking ownership in our American energy company. And remember, we also showed emails and text messages that showed Joe Biden was going to be a 10% equity owner in this business. He was even going to have office space in this business. This is very troubling at a time when America is faced with record high energy prices.
I want people to think about that now. By the way, he did have access to the office space, according to emails on that hard drive. So what I'm saying is it's bigger than even that. And by the way, yes, the maps where the Chinese could purchase natural gas outlets, if you will, in the United States. That's selling out the United States. Think about the template with Uranium One and Hillary Clinton. Or think about the ports deal. This is a continuous course of criminal activity that should be evident to everyone listening and watching this. Go ahead.
Of bad policies from this administration.
Well, we want to know what you all are going to do about it, because Jim Jordan, what did we hear on Friday from Merrick Garland, the attorney general, the DOJ lead person, puts a special counsel on the Trump investigations. Yeah. Where is the special counsel on the Biden family influence peddling?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just one more example of how political the Justice Department has become. And it's why 14 whistleblowers have come and told us that, 14 FBI agents. But I want to go back. I want to go back to May of 2013. The Inspector General at the Treasury Department issues a report and says Obama's IRS targeted conservatives. In our investigation at that time, we discovered that the Department of Justice was trying to find ways to prosecute the very people who Obama's IRS targeted. And Maria, guess who? Guess who was the lead person at the Justice Department looking for ways to target and prosecute the very people Lois Lerner went after? Jack Smith, the guy Merrick Garland just named as special counsel to go after President Trump. Now, think about this in the broad sense. In 2016, they spied on President Trump's campaign. In 2018, it was the Mueller investigation. In 2020, they suppressed the Hunter Biden story just days before the most important election we have. And in 2022, 91 days before the midterm election, they raided President Trump's home. And then this week, 3 days after President Trump announces he's running for president, 1 day after Mr. Comer did his press conference, guess what? Merrick Garland says, we're going to put in as the special counsel the very individual who was at the Justice Department and was looking for ways to prosecute the people Lois Lerner and Obama's IRS targeted. If that's not a political Justice Department, I don't know what is. So this is why we're going to look into this issue, and we're going to get to the bottom of everything they've been doing at the politicized DOJ.
Okay, I want you to hold that thought, okay? Jack Smith, just hold that thought, because this involves each and every one of us as well. You may think they're going after President Trump. Yes, they are. But this involves, this is bigger than that. Go ahead and continue.
You all will have the gavel. James Comer, how do they keep getting away with all of this politicizing? Are you going to subpoena Joe Biden? Are you going to subpoena all of those involved in allowing China and the Communist Party to get inside the gates of America by paying off certain individuals like the Biden family?
We're going to subpoena whoever the investigation leads us to subpoena. We're serious about this. We're going to start with the bank records. We need those bank records. You've seen countless emails and text messages where Hunter has complained about having to keep his father up. There's no question that Joe Biden was receiving benefit from Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's only source of income were our adversaries in China and Russia. So this is very concerning. The American people deserve answers. We deserve to know if we have a White House that's compromised by China. And that's going to be our priority in the House Oversight Committee.
Well, talk to us about these transactions, because, you know, they've tried to leak to the press that Hunter Biden is going to be charged with tax issues. Is it because he wasn't paying taxes on all of the money that Chinese officials and Ukrainian officials and Russian officials were wiring into his account?
Right. Yeah. He has at least a $2 million tax bill with the IRS. I don't know how many people you know that owe the IRS over $2 million, but Hunter Biden is one of them. But honestly, Maria, the tax evasion is the least of Hunter Biden's problems. And my fear is if the DOJ indicts Hunter Biden, then that will essentially protect him from a congressional subpoena from the House Oversight Committee. So I'm not advocating for Hunter Biden to be indicted. I'm not advocating for a special counsel, because I believe that if the Treasury Cabinet and if the banks will work with us, we'll be able to get answers to the most important questions on the House Oversight.
Jim Jordan, how did this happen? How did the DOJ and the FBI become so politicized? We know what they did around the Russia collusion story. They had no evidence of any collusion with Trump, and yet they pursued FISA warrants to spy and surveil people within the Trump world aggressively.
I don't know how it happened, but I know it has to change because America is the greatest country in history.
Okay. You do know how it happened. I don't want to hear, I don't know how it happened. It happened under your leadership. It happened under your nose. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, green, white, black, orange, yellow. I don't care. It happened under your watch. And by the way, it happened under our watch as well. Remember when I said, hold that thought. The weaponization they brought up about the Department of Justice. Let me tell you how weaponized this is and how it will affect all of us. You saw in part the civil lawfare against Alex Jones. this platform has obviously experienced that as well. Other platforms have experienced, and let me tell you, that's why I say the process is the punishment. But about the Department of Justice and about the criminal, making people criminals, you release criminals. You've got Antifa, BLM, all of these pet organizations of the communist left burning down cities. Meanwhile, they're coming after anyone who speaks at speaks for you know, unborn children, or speaks at a school against grooming. There's a method here I want to show you. I'm sure people have heard about the Pegasus, Operation Pegasus, or the Pegasus operation. Pegasus software. Have you heard about Phantom software? I want you to think about this as a tool, as a mechanism that's being used against the American citizens. This, I believe, was from Dan Bongino. This is clip number 2 in the show notes. This is what is happening today. This is not what's going to happen. This is what's already happening right now. This is what's been happening and will continue to happen until we stand up and say, not anymore. Meanwhile, you've got Hunter, Joe, Jill, his brother, sister, Jim Biden, and his sister, just making all sorts of money from our enemies, selling out our country, while we are the enemies of the deep state. Watch this clip here. This is clip 2. This is about Pegasus and about the Phantom software.
Listen, folks, you're not wasting your time with the show, I promise. I warned you months ago, actually July of 2021 in my podcast, about the FBI potentially abusing this spyware program known as Pegasus. FBI confirms it obtained NSO's Pegasus spyware. You know what Pegasus is? Yeah, Pegasus basically hijacks your phone, microphone, camera, everything. You want that in your room? Yeah, give a look about Pegasus. Scare the hell out of you. Gosh, I dropped a few LBs since then. I'm just seeing myself on camera. Now, listen, unfortunately, new alarms are going off about how close the FBI actually came to using Pegasus to spy on us, Americans. But could it still happen? Joining me now as a frequent guest of the show, someone who's witnessed the FBI's abuses firsthand, former FBI special agent, whistleblower as well, Kyle Serafin. Kyle, thanks so much for your time. You're a real patriot when it comes to this stuff. We appreciate you speaking out. This scares me, Kyle. It's no-click spyware. All I've got to do is send you an email on your phone. You don't even got to click on it, and the FBI has everything. What's stopping them from abusing this at this point?
Well, we've got to be pretty clear, because NSO is an Israeli software, right? It's cyber warfare tools, and it's used to do that, like you said, the no-click exploitation of an iPhone. But it's really only geared for external, like non-U.S., phone numbers. And so that's what keeps them from using Pegasus specifically internally. That's what we're led to believe by the New York Times. But they created a second follow-up program that's called Phantom. And the only customer that's allowed are U.S. government entities, U.S. government agencies. And so Phantom is designed to only exploit U.S. phone numbers. And if they keep it internally, like that's a tool that could be used domestically with no problem. We're told they're not being used it. They're not using it at all. But what's to say that the FBI's operational technology division didn't, you know, reverse engineer it and use some variant thereof? And it's definitely a real possibility.
That's what worries me, Kyle. We get into this, euphemisms game here. Oh, we're not using Pegasus. You know, we're using Smegasus, and it's just a different thing. I mean, we can't trust them. And my principle I've always operated on here is it's not the program. These programs are going to exist. You know it, Kyle, these spy programs. It's rules of engagement have to be strict. And I'm just afraid they're too loose and it leaves it too much up to the discretion of the FBI. Your thoughts?
Well, this is a concern that the FBI's had. Like I said, I'm beating the drum that the FBI considers itself an intelligence agency first. Intelligence agencies want information. That's what they do. And this goes back to 2014 with former director Jim Comey. It was called the Going Dark Initiative. Their concern about end-to-end encrypted apps and things that they couldn't access because Americans, you know, have a right to privacy. We believe that we should be able to share some information. The idea that they would compromise your phone, and a lot of people keep phone, you know, information on their phone that they wouldn't share with their spouse even. It's one of the most private things that we carry around all day. And so just knowing that and knowing that they might compromise, you know, your walk, your gait, your geolocation, your microphones and your all the files on there, including the actual cameras, it's a terrifying prospect. And, you know, if we lived in China, maybe that would be expected, but not in this country.
Yeah, I'd rather have you in my safe than in my phone. Topic two, I got about a minute left, Kyle. But court papers released this week, we found out that the FBI did, in fact, the conspiracy theory is true, have informants inside groups on January 6th. Christopher Wray said this, take a listen, when asked about the FBI's involvement in January 6th.
Did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters inside the Capitol on January the 6th prior to the doors being opened?
Again, I had to be very careful.
It should be a no. Can you not tell the American people no?
You should not read anything into my decision not to share information.
Director.
Kyle, should we take that as a yes?
It's just, this is the audacity of the FBI director to go up in front of the oversight committees that are there to put the check and balance in on the powers of the FBI and to say that I'm not going to answer your question. I don't think America should accept it. I'm really optimistic that we see something different in January when Representative Jim Jordan takes over. It's got to happen. I mean, the FBI requires guardrails. It's got to be, you know, kept from careening off into the First Amendment protected activities. And, you know, we're not seeing it. So I'm really hopeful that there's a change as the year, you know, turns over to 2023. And we just see something that that represents what we all expected to see, which is an FBI reined in.
Yeah. I mean, if their story's true, Kyle, and I got to run, but and this is the worst incident since 9/11 in Pearl Harbor, then we're entitled to know what the FBI's role in it was. Whistleblower, former FBI agent, and American patriot, Kyle Cerfin. Thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. So that was Dan Bongino. And at the end there, you saw, at the beginning, of course, he was talking about the Pegasus and Phantom software. Folks, they did not stop using this software. They used it on January 6th. They used it at the Capitol. They're using it now. They're using it at every single day. They're using it against American citizens, which Pegasus was initially designed to go after phones that were not listed or not from the United States. Okay. The numbers, not anymore. That, along with the Phantom spyware, now has expanded all of that. Now, who are they going after? Again, President Trump, they're going after him. We know that. We know who they're going after. It's you and I. It's people like this father. Let's go to clip number four. This, by the way, this appeared on Glenn Beck's program. And I believe that you and I, as grandparents, as parents, as aunts, uncles, hey, just as human beings, should do exactly this. Because this is enough. Enough is enough. And remember that video from the beginning, Gregory's video, what a great video with the ants. There are more of us than there are of them. This is clip four.
A gag order, were you not? You were not allowed to speak to the media. You weren't allowed to even speak to lawmakers about your case.
That's right. This interview is illegal in the state of Texas. I was banned from making any, publishing any blog posts, social media posts, publishing a newspaper article, doing any writing at all on about my situation. I was also permanently banned from doing interviews, doing podcasts, appearing on television interviews, and these are all specifically laid out. I was also banned from speaking on three political topics. I'm not allowed to talk about anything about transgender issues, gender expansiveness, or whether my son is a boy or a girl. And I have told this judge, and I tell this judge every time I do an interview, I will never follow your illegal and unconstitutional order. I have contempt for her as a judge for issuing the order. I have maximum contempt for the tyrannous language of the order. and I will never follow the order. I'm guilty of maximum criminal contempt in the 301st District Court of the State of Texas, and she's obligated to put me in jail for the maximum sentence, which is 180 days in the Luce Derrick Jail in Dallas County. 4 days later, I'll be in the jail library with the writ of habeas corpus that I have already prepared. We will go to the 5th District, and we will see who's right. I'll appear in handcuffs, her in the judge's robe, but I'm not taking this tyranny, and I'm not going to stop speaking out about my son.
Wow. Is he right?
Yes.
Of course
yes.
He's right. And that was about a father having an issue where the son, minor son, is being compelled to transition into a girl, of course, and him standing up and saying, no, I'm the father. The judges don't get to decide. The courts don't get to decide. The schools don't get to decide. So he was charged. They charged him. He appeared before a judge, and you heard what the judge told him. This judge in Texas said, no. Not only are you to stay out of it, basically, you are not to talk about it. There he is talking about it. Again, the more of us that stand up and do this, then we can win, okay? But we have to have that grit to stand up. And again, the reason I toss that in there now is because they're going after us. They're going after him. They're going after you and me. Over things like this, the weaponized Justice Department that was mentioned by Jim Jordan, of course, and during that clip before two clips ago. This is what the weaponization is all about. It's about the demoralization and about the criminalization of you and I, of the general public, the perversion of our country. And yes, this is tied to the communist Chinese because this is asymmetrical warfare. The last, just to wrap this up, I mentioned January 6th. You heard about the Pegasus and Phantom spyware. You've heard about the weaponized Justice Department during this episode. I'm going to close it off. Let me do this. Let me expand in the interest of time here because of the shortness of the hour. Let me expand on the Christopher Wray situation because this will give you better insight. This is directly from the exchange, congressional exchange. This would be clip number or video number 6 in the show prep. This is about January 6th, and it's an exchange between Rand Paul grilling the FBI agent or FBI head of the FBI, Christopher Wray, on getting private info from Facebook, social media companies, and as you heard, having embeds inside the Capitol on that day. They're setting us up. They're going after us every which way, every way they can. This gives you a little bit more insight. Go ahead and run clip 6.
Is that fair to say is a priority there?
Yes, it is, Senator.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hessen. Senator Paul, you're recognized for your questions.
Director Wray, is Facebook or any other social media company supplying private messages or data on American users that is not compelled by the government or the FBI?
Not compelled. In other words, not in response to the legal process.
No warrant, no subpoena. They're just supplying you information on their users.
I don't believe so, but I can't sit here and be sure of that as I sit here.
Can you give us a yes or no by going back to your team and asking? Because it's a very specific question, because if they are, it's against the law. The law, the Stored Communications Act, the Electronic Communications Privacy Act of 1986, prohibits providers from sharing electronic communications with any person or entity. unless it's compelled. This was done to protect the privacy of people so we could feel like we can send an email or direct message to people without having that information given over. It's a very specific question. Will you get with your team of lawyers and give us a specific answer? Because this is the law. If you're doing it, then we need to go to court to prevent you from receiving this information.
Well, I can tell you that I'm quite confident we're following the law, but what I will also...
Well, that's not the answer.
But I will also follow up with you to make sure that we get you more information, more detailed information.
Is the FBI obtaining anonymous social media data and then using technical methods to pierce the anonymous nature of the data?
Anonymous social media data?
So you purchase data. People purchase data all the time, and we sort of tolerate it for advertising and things because it's anonymous data. Are you purchasing what is said to be anonymous data through the marketplace and then piercing the anonymous nature to attach individual names to that data?
Right. But when you asked about anonymous data, I was thinking more in terms of...
No, I'm talking about data that is out there. And are you purchasing data and then piercing the anonymous nature of that data?
So the manner in which we use, we usually use the term commercial data, is probably longer than I could explain here. But again, let me have a...
You will not answer the question of whether or not you're attaching names to anonymous data.
I think it's a more complicated answer than I can give here.
That's a yes.
So far we're 0-2 with getting you to answer this, but you're pledging you will actually answer the question because you have to realize the frustration. We'll write you a letter and your team of lawyers will write back 15-page letter that says nothing and you won't answer the question. These are very specific. This is whether you're obeying the law, whether we can have confidence. I want to have confidence in the
evidence. We are obeying the law.
Well, you're saying that, but we won't tell us the answer.
I said
you aren't telling me the answer. And the answer is, are you collecting data not compelled by a warrant? That would not be in compliance with the law, but you won't answer that you're not collecting that data.
I said two things. One, we're following the law. And second, that we would have somebody follow up with you with more detailed specific.
So those are two specific questions. Are you getting data from them that's not compelled? And then are you piercing the anonymous nature of that technically? Are you receiving private messages from social media companies through the use of confidential human sources from Facebook, social media companies? Do you have people working over there who you're paying or who are volunteering to give you information, even though it would be against the law for Facebook to do this? But now you're saying, well, we'll get around the law by using confidential human sources.
You mean, just to be clear, I'm following the question. You mean, in effect, recruiting a human source inside the company?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I don't believe so. I think what we have had situations where we have confidential human sources, not employees of those companies, but who report to us on their own communications. Okay. So if the two of us had a communication and Secretary Mayorkas was a human source, he could report to us about what he is saying to me.
Once again, I'd like the answer to be more specific from your team. Not that I don't believe you.
This goes on for another 3, 4, 5 minutes, but the bottom line is this. There is surveillance, and you could tell by Ray's initial answer about the social networking. Yes, and by the way, Zuckerberg admitted as much when he was on with Joe Rogan. So you've got surveillance, again, surveillance using the Phantom software, using Pegasus by the Department of the weaponized Department of Justice against the American people. You've got embedded sources at various social networks. You've got confidential human sources at social networking. You've got surveillance of your emails, your communications, including but not limited to, again, your emails, but your cell phones as well, as I mentioned before. You've got surveillance that's, and I could do an entire show on this, and perhaps I will, about how January 6th, what's that is far from over. It's only going to get worse from here. Yes, even with a Republican Congress, because there is on Sunday Talks, there was in fact, if you go to Conservative Treehouse, there's an article that confirms the intent to transfer evidence to special counsel during lame duck to begin Republican targeting operations. What I'm telling you is this: they're going after the Republicans as well as you and I. Okay, they're empowered. They're empowered because at this point they've got no other choice than to throw everything that they've got against all of us. So with all of that, I hope you can see that the war, really, the kinetic war is not that far off. And when I say kinetic war, I mean a war that is going to be against the American people. We're not going to fire the first shot. Folks, I hope that made sense to you. If so, please let me know and leave a comment at Rumble or Brighteon. Be sure to subscribe and to click the Rumble button or the thumbs up button. God bless. Have a great night.